words of comfort. What a biblical admonition. I trust that whatever you're going through, you will trust in our Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to continue from last Sunday night's message in our series on ministry vision, Women in Worship. As I was listening to the Goodwins minister in music tonight, it reminded me that Caleb is now no longer Lance Corporal. He has been promoted to Corporal. So we're excited about that and congratulate him. That's a great achievement, and we need to continue to pray for our folks in the military. I do need to say this. Some of you may not be aware, but tonight is Super Bowl Sunday night. So when you leave, there should be no blurting out of scores or giving anything away. And if while I'm preaching you say amen at a really odd time, I'll know that you're checking the score, all right? But I appreciate your commitment to being here on Sunday night in spite of Super Bowl Sunday. And of course, with technology, we can record and catch up and all that kind of stuff. But I'm glad that you're here. And I trust that the Word of God tonight will help as we look at ministry vision and we kind of share ministry philosophy. Why is it and how is it we do things in ministry here at Berean? And we want to follow the biblical pattern. And so we're going through right now the pastoral epistles. And once we go through the pastoral epistles, we'll actually be exploring some other passages of scriptures on Sunday nights. And I trust that this will be something that will be very helpful and very motivational to you as you see kind of the direction that we are going and heading. I'm not putting a new direction on Berean Baptist Church, all right? Berean Baptist Church has been going in the right direction. We may add some things that may change as we want to be effective in our service for the Lord, but it's got to be biblical, and this church was founded on a biblical foundation and a right philosophy, and so we're not going to be changing the general direction or philosophy or structure of this church. We may be doing the same things in some new ways, but we're going to do things the Bible way. And so, just by way of review, last week we were looking at, first of all, the women in worship, the adorning. Let's kind of review the passage. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And so we looked at this adorning being of modest apparel, of a modest attitude, and of modest actions. And then we began to get into the aspect of authority. And we looked at the fact that the ladies are supposed to learn in a quiet submissiveness. The mark of or the example of submitting under the authority that God has placed on all of us is exemplified through that. And we're going to highlight that again tonight. And so the admonitions under authority were to learn in quiet submissiveness, not to be publicly preaching or teaching. We'll explain that a little bit in our next point. And then not to administrate as far as the local church. Now, don't get me wrong. We have a great nursery administrator, if you want to call her that, Miss Dania. And we are thankful for her ministry. When I kind of illustrate how the church works, we talked a little bit last week that we work in a complementary fashion. In other words, just so even when you look in the church office, you have Pastor Hurst, and you have me, and you have Pastor Finch, and you have Pastor Norton. But we also have in the office, on some days, we have Mrs. Finch comes in, my wife Krista comes in, and then of course we have Tammy Smith full time. And so we all work in coordinated effort together in doing that nuts and bolts, day in, day out ministry of the church. But it's in a complementary fashion and within the proper roles. And if you want to serve God, there is a place for you here at Berean Baptist Church. But it has to be within the confines, within the context of what the scriptures declare. You know, and I praise the Lord for people like Sana Aldridge, who uses her ability. I mean, if you look out in the foyer and see all of that beautiful coordinated decoration, the floors and the carpets and all the decorations and the paint schemes, all of that, man, I praise the Lord that God's given her that ability to be able to see and coordinate those things, and that she puts forth great effort in trying to help there be an excellent testimony, even in the appearance of our buildings and this area. There are others who are faithful in other ministries, men and women, and we're very thankful for that. But I want to get to our third point tonight, and that is answering some questions. And we kind of addressed this last week, but I'd like to go back in a little bit further detail this week. Here's the first question, and that is this. Are men and women equal? Well, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, what's the Bible say? The Bible says that God created men and women equal. Yes, absolutely. The Bible says, Genesis 1:27, in it, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. So, are they equal? Yes. Are they the same? No. Is there then a hierarchy of authority? There is. Stop and think about this. We see within the Trinity a hierarchy of authority, don't we? Jesus said, I always do that which pleases who? My Father. So, the Father is obeyed or submitted to by the Son, and then who sent us the Holy Spirit? Jesus did. And so there is a perfect unity, but even within the Trinity, there is a structure, there's an authoritative structure, and it all works together. It's very interesting, as I was reading, I read this, studying this week. One commentator said, the strength of Paul's wording here makes it challenging to obey this command in today's society. Since the 1970s, stop and think about this. Our culture has rejected the idea that there are many different roles for men and women in the home, in the professional world, or in the church. In this text, speaking specifically of 1 Timothy chapter 2, among others, the Holy Spirit clearly says there is a difference in roles, but the cultural challenge must be seen in its true context. Okay? Because tonight, I want to extend beyond just women in worship and authority structure within the church that Paul's addressing here to address this a little bit more broadly. And I hope it brings home, ladies, to you that you have a very important opportunity through your example to show the truth of all of us submitting to God's authority in the way that you submit to God's authority of His Word in the structure and roles within the church. The cultural challenge must be seen in its true context, not just in a struggle between men and women, but as a struggle with the issues of authority in general. Since the 1960s, there's been a massive change in the way that we see and accept authority. And he lists these ways. Citizens do not have the same respect for government's authority. Students do not have the same respect for teachers' authority. Women do not have the same respect for men's authority. Children do not have the same respect for parental authority. Employees do not have the same respect for their employer's authority. People do not have the same respect for the police's authority, and Christians no longer have the same respect for church authority. There are not many who would say that these changes have been good. Generally, people do not feel safer, and there is less confidence within our culture. Television and other entertainment get worse and worse. In fact, our society is presently in and rushing towards complete anarchy, the state where no authority is accepted, and the only thing that matters is what one wants to do. It is fair to describe our present moral state as one of anarchy. There is no moral authority in our culture. When it comes to morality, the only thing that matters is what one wants to do. In a civil sense, many neighborhoods in our nation are given over to anarchy. The government's authority is not accepted in gang-infested portions of our cities. The only thing that matters is what one wants to do. We must see the broader attack on authority as a direct satanic strategy to destroy our society and millions of individual lives. Satan is accomplishing this with two main attacks. First, the corruption of authority, and second, the rejection of authority. This idea of authority and submission to authority are so important to God that they are part of His very being. The first person of the Holy Trinity is called the Father. The second person of the Holy Trinity is called the Son. The third person of the Holy Trinity is called the Holy Spirit. Inherent in those titles is a relationship of authority and submission to authority. The Father exercises authority over the Son, and the Son submits to the Father's authority. And in this, is in the very nature and being of God. Our failure to exercise biblical authority and our failure to submit to biblical authority isn't just wrong and sad. It sins against the very nature of God. One of the things that is concerning about this in our society, we wonder why, many times, why children do not submit to parental authority. I just use this by way of illustration. Lady, if you are not exemplifying in your home godly submission to your husband, don't expect your children to really do that with you. Every time you are challenging your husband, every time you're resisting him, every time you are trying to grab the reins and make decisions and take control, you are sending a message to your kids that that's okay for them to do with you and with other authorities within society. By the way, just as a little side advertisement, we do have biblical counselings. If you're having struggles in your marriage, we have marriage counseling that we make available, biblical counseling for marriages. So if you need some help, come and see one of the pastors. Let us know. We'll set up counseling with you. As a parent, you say, I'm really struggling. I want to help my kids. I want to do this biblically, and I'm at a loss. Come and see us. We would love to take the Word of God and help you with that and set up some structure and help you with some biblical principles and help get you some literature and some help and some accountability that can equip you, because we want you to have biblical, godly, Christ-honoring marriages and godly families, and there are answers in God's Word, and there is always hope. So let us be that help to you as you seek to please God. So the first question, are men and women equal? Yes, but they are not the same. Second, why can't women be ordained preachers or deacons? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says this in verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, church constitution again, brought it up last week. This is not equal in authority with the scripture, by the way. But it is based on the scripture, okay? And so let me kind of explain to you, this is something you may already know. Matter of fact, we actually amended this section, section 13, declarations on human sexuality and marriage. I don't know whether it was changed or whether it was added. I wasn't here in 2014. Nevertheless, there's a little parenthetical clause at the bottom that says, or phrase that says, this is when this happened. But listen to what we are addressing even within our society here. We believe that God has commanded that no sexual activity be engaged in outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. And there's several biblical references. Then number two, we believe that the term marriage has only one legitimate meaning, and that is marriage sanctioned by God, which joins one man and one woman in a single covenantal union as delineated by Scripture. Marriage ceremonies performed in any facility owned, leased, or rented by this church or officiated by any pastoral staff member will only be those ceremonies sanctioned by God, joining one man with one woman as that gender was determined at birth. That is extremely important. That is something that we are facing in our society. There are people that are in turmoil because they don't know what they are. Do you remember a few years ago how Facebook had 50-something different genders that you could be? I mean, it was ludicrous. It was crazy. You know why? Because people won't simply submit to what the Word of God teaches. You say, but you know what? I have family members. I have neighbors. I have coworkers. I have people in my realm or my sphere of influence that really are struggling with this. How can I help them? I'm so glad you asked. Because Pastor Finch's Sunday school class is addressing that issue right now. So you can come on Sunday mornings to Sunday school, and Pastor Finch has been doing some great studies that can help you to understand these issues from a biblical perspective so that we, with the compassion of Christ, can reach out to people and we can help them. But within the structure of the church, as we are wanting to honor, and why do we protect the definition of marriage so carefully? Because the Bible does. And because God uses marriage between a man and a woman as an illustration of Christ and His church. And so even within the structure, the authoritative structure of the church, the reason why women cannot be deacons, that we would not ordain ladies to be preachers or to administrate at Berean Baptist Church as holding authority over men, or a lady teaching a combined Sunday school class where there'd be men and women, the reasons are that we want to be very careful to obey the clear commands of Scripture as lined up in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, but also because there is the biblical pattern and the picture of Christ in the church and of God's authority over us, and ladies get to exemplify submission to God by submitting to the male authority and within their roles of ministry within the church. So here's another question, and this is a big one. Isn't Paul approaching this culturally? Well, this is kind of a thing that, you know, Paul in his day, you know, was just dealing with his culture and his society. But I mean, we are so much more advanced in 2018 and in American society, right? We're much smarter than that. We're much more developed. Well, I want you to see from the passages of Scripture that Paul was not just addressing something that was only culturally relevant in his day and in his society. Look at the biblical reasoning here with me in verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." Listen also to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 to 12. "For a man indeed," and again, here's the context of worship within the church, and that's what we're dealing with here in 1 Timothy 2. It's the structure and the order and the ministry and the worship within this local church body. And Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Corinthian church and says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels," or there ought to be some significant expression of her submission to authority as structured by God and exemplified within the local church. "Nevertheless," Paul goes on, "neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God." Ultimately, where does Paul bring it back to? Is he saying, "I am telling you this because I'm an apostle and this is my preference, so I get to establish this"? No. What's he saying? All of this comes from God. This wasn't Paul's idea. He goes back to before the time of culture, to Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, who was created first? Adam was created first, right? And then Eve was formed to be the one who fit Adam. And they were made for each other. And so within the order of creation, as designed by God, even before the fall of man, there was that structure. And then, of course, with the fall, both here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "And the woman was deceived, the man wasn't." The man still succumbed, but he was not deceived as in the same way that Eve was. But he goes back and he says, look, but that doesn't mean that men are superior and women are inferior in any way. We are equally under God, but we are not the same. God has put structure. So understand that this is God's plan. This is his pattern. So Paul's not just dealing with this culturally. But then I want you to look at something, because this verse 15, really even sometimes seems to throw a little bit of a curveball, even at some theologians. Look at verse 15. This is one commentator said this is one of the most difficult verses in the New Testament to deal with. And so Paul, continuing this thought, says, "Notwithstanding, she, the woman, shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." So what's that talking about? Is not salvation by grace through faith? Yes. So what's he talking about this? Somehow through childbirth, the woman somehow redeems herself? No. You see, Jewish tradition taught that after childbirth, that ceremonially, woman was unclean, so she was not allowed to come to the temple for worship. She was considered not, if you want to put it in these terms, fit for worship. And so apparently in the Ephesian church, there was a concern that any woman that had born children might not be fit for worship or might not be saved. There was the question that kept stirring up about that. Or the question was, well, she put her faith in Christ, but then she had, you know, she gave birth. So now is she still saved or does she need to get saved again? And so Paul's also addressing this issue and saying that, no, look, through the whole childbirth process, before, during, after, she is never unfit for worship. She never loses her salvation. Why? Because where does he put the emphasis? How do we know we're saved? Faith. We put our trust in God. Charity. That is, we love him. He loves us. How do we know that we're the children of God? We love him. And we obey him. And holiness with sobriety. So there that is. That evidence is of our faith in Christ is our obedience to him. So there's an affirmation, but also a lot of the theologians in commenting on this particular verse say that they believe that there is a hint too, because when you go back to when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, what was part of the specific curse that God placed on the man and the woman? The man, it was that now he would have to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, and the woman would have what? Pain in childbirth. And so what Paul is saying is don't let birth, childbirth be, and the pain of childbirth be something that that pounds a woman spiritually into tempting her to think and to always remind her that she is somehow lesser because she's reminded of when Eve fell because she was deceived, and part of that curse is childbirth. Because also in that passage, when God says that part of the consequence and part of the reminder for the woman was that she would have pain in childbirth, he also says, he gives that, God foretells that one day that the seed of the woman would do what? Crush the serpent's head. And we know that the Holy Spirit of God placed Christ in Mary's womb, the Virgin Mary, and she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so marriage and childbirth is honorable. Children are an heritage from the Lord. Being a mom is a wonderful and a holy calling. Thank God for the ministry, lady, that he's given you if you have the privilege to be a mom. And be affirmed to know that God holds you in high esteem. And men, we ought to treasure our wives, and we need to honor them. The Bible says, Peter admonishes the men, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of God. But one last thing that I would like to do is just give some practical admonitions as we kind of wrap up this subject. What's the practical admonition? Number one, fulfill your God-given roles. And then let me say this. It's going to be much easier for our wives to submit to our authority if we're being the leaders we ought to be. If we are loving our wives and we are giving our wives, ourselves to and for our wives as Christ sacrificially gave himself for the church, you know what? Our wives will be pretty happy. They'll be pretty secure, won't they? And if we are actually being the example and taking the leadership and investing in our family. But again, as I admonished you last week, ma'am, if your husband is not doing that, let me encourage you to graciously and with a sweet submissive spirit, kindly ask and admonish and encourage your husband to take that leadership. And then as he does, if he hasn't been, and he's taking those faltering steps, and maybe he stumbles or maybe he drops the ball, don't get on him, but encourage him, uplift him, help him with that. Come alongside him and help facilitate his ability and capacity for leadership. Don't just say, well, he's not leading, so I'm going to. Let me discourage you from having that attitude, but instead to try to come alongside graciously and encourage your husband and encourage him and help him to lead, to pray for him. Second of all, let's work in complementary fashion with a team spirit. There are so many different facets and opportunities for ministry here at Berean Baptist Church and within our community. God has a lot of work for us to do within our God-given roles. It's kind of like this. You know, God has given us different opportunities. He's given us different skill sets. He's given us different spiritual gifts in varying degrees. Let's not be jealous about some ability God has given somebody else. Maybe you sit in a pew and you hear somebody singing special music or playing the piano or playing an instrument, and you say, man, I wish I could do that. And you get so focused on, I wish I could do that, that you're dissatisfied with what you can do because you say, well, that's not really much. I wish I could minister in music. When God has given you some sort of an ability or a talent or a skill or a spiritual gift, and God says, I've given this to you, now use it for my glory. Don't be so bent on or bent out of shape about the thing that you can't do that you're not doing the things that you can do. But the Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Where are you in life? What can you do for the Lord? Do that within your God-given role and rejoice in that. God has things for you to do. And then every Christian should follow Jesus' example of servanthood and submitting to others' needs. You know, a pastor is admonished, and we'll look at this later on through this series, a pastor is admonished not to lord it over God's heritage. And men, God does not want us to lord our authority over our wives. And Berean Baptist Church is not a kind of a church that's going to lord over the women in the way that we treat them, our attitude towards you ladies. We're not going to be treating you in any way that would be disrespectful or to make you feel inferior. But God has ordained that within certain roles, men are to take the leadership and only men are supposed to serve. But ladies, there are so many other areas in which you can serve. And we need to work together and we need to serve God. And we need to rejoice in His goodness that He would save a wretched sinner like any one of us. And then that we would have the privilege to have a church family like this. Folks, I traveled the country for 17 years in full-time evangelism. As a kid, from the time I was 2 years old until I went off to Bob Jones University, for that 16 years, I traveled the country with my parents. I've been in a bunch of churches. What we have here at Berean Baptist Church is extremely special. Ask somebody like Bill Lake or other people that consistently are traveling and they're exposed to other churches. And I tell you what, God has given us a privilege and a loving, godly, biblically balanced, growing bunch of believers here. And there are places for you to serve and things for you to do, and we have a fun time doing it. And I am so thankful for what we have. So don't look for what you can't do or what you don't have. And instead of us pushing our personal agenda, let's make sure we're pushing God's agenda and that we are serving the Lord together. But all of this has come about only because God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to come to this earth and to live a perfect, sinless life, so that as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, He could die on the cross and shed His blood as the full payment sacrifice for our sin. That He willingly yielded up His spirit and He died. And 3 days later, He took up His life again and He conquered death so that we could have eternal life. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that if you were to go home tonight and go to sleep and die in your sleep, that you would wake up with Jesus in heaven? Because if you don't, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know for sure where you will spend eternity when you die, don't leave here tonight until you've come to see one of us who are pastors. We can help you. My wife can help you. There are other ladies and gentlemen here who could take the word of God and take you to a quiet room and sit down with you and show you the way of salvation and help you settle this matter once and for all. Don't leave here tonight till that matter is settled. And let's all of us tonight, as we now are going to close in a word of prayer and then we're going to sing a dismissal chorus, let us, as we go to the Lord in prayer, thank Him. Because you know what? God made you you. He called you to be what you are. Every one of us are a unique tool that God wants to pick up and use. And he has a specific role and a mission for each one of us. Let's thank him for it. Let's delight in it. Let's serve him joyfully. And let's serve him together. Shall we bow our heads? We rejoice, Lord, in your goodness. Lord, I'm reminded that we men need to be exemplary in our conduct so that our wives have a much easier time submitting to our authority because they see us submitting so readily to yours. And help our children to be willing and to learn to submit to authority because they see us submitting to your authority. May we as a church always be submitted to your authority. Lord, I think of the time when a pastor told me when he resigned his church because when he met with the deacon board and he said to them, "Men, we've got to do this. This is biblical. We don't have a choice." One of the deacons got up and yelled in his face and said, "We don't care what the Bible says. We're not doing it that way." Lord, may that never happen, not only in this church, but in our families and in our individual lives. But may we allow the Spirit of God to teach us, to confront us, to change us through the truth of the Word of God. May we delight to do your will. May we be content the way that you have made us, but may we be discontent that we are not yet in the perfect likeness of Christ. And may we pursue that, and we ask, we invite you to transform us through your truth. Should there be somebody here tonight that's not received the gift of everlasting life through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus, may this be the night that they would trust Christ. Give them the courage to talk to somebody who can help them. Lord, maybe there are some marriages that are in difficulty. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would give courage and a dose of biblical humility to those who are in need to be willing to seek out that help and acknowledge there is that need so that the Word of God can help. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to work together, we who are saved, within the roles that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for all who are faithful. Those even within our pastoral staff, our secretaries. Lord, I thank you for Krista and Tammy and for Janine and for Christy as they so faithfully work behind the scenes and doing so much of the work of the ministry within biblical roles, within the limits that you've set forth in Scripture. And Lord, how that even frees up Pastor Hurst and Pastor Andrew and me and Pastor Finch to be able to do the portions of the ministry that you have ordained that we do. Oh Lord, may we see that. May we serve you in not only a complimentary fashion within our church staff, but within all the ministries of Berean Baptist Church, and may that flow over into our homes. And Lord, I pray that anybody who's not truly a part of your family through faith in Jesus Christ, who's not been born again into the family of God, that you would continue to work in their heart and illumine their understanding, that they may soon turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Lord, this world is lost and dying, going to hell. Lord, we cannot be so selfish and so discontent because we may not be able to get our agenda through or be able to do something we wish we could do and we're jealous of somebody else's ministry. Oh, Lord, help us to see the big picture. Help us, Lord, to be those who, like the hymn writer said, who are throwing out the lifeline, who are letting the light shine along the shore. We pray that you would be glorified, Lord, with our response and our obedience to you. Thank you for Berean Baptist Church. Thank you for these dear folks. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal unchanging word and your eternal unchanging love for us. May we serve you faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Finch?
We always want to be a blessing, and I thought it would be a blessing for Gary and Pat Niarchus this morning, if we close our service singing "Wings as Eagles," but we won't do that. We'll sing 577. "Be strong in the Lord." Just the chorus. Why don't we stand? Just the chorus. 577. Be strong.